You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
What, everybody? Big show tonight, and welcome to it. I'm your host, James Edwards, the Political Cesspool, live broadcast for Saturday evening, May 20th. Now, you know we're in our brand new studio, and I expected some glitches last week. We had a flawless show last week, technically speaking, and it wasn't a pretty bad show by any standard of measurement. In fact, it was quite good, and how could it not have been with David Duke, Michael Hill, and Brad Griffin all as our guests last week? Seems to be a few gremlins in the wires here when we did our pre-show check of the systems. I've got my producers on it, so we'll see. Keep your fingers crossed. You know, anytime, like I said, when you put in all new equipment and get everything wired together and plugged in, and you just expect something to go wrong. So we'll see. But they're on top of it, and if we have to switch to an alternate means of communication during tonight's broadcast, we will do that. So just fair warning. Okay, well, it is Saturday evening, May 20th. How did that happen? I mean, what in the world? We're already halfway through the year, for all intents and purposes, and it is definitely summer weather here in Memphis where you sweat going to the mailbox. Powerful broadcast tonight, though. Let's just get right down to what's going to be going on this evening on the Political Cesspool over the course of the next 3 hours. You will hear from Richard Spencer. Last week, when David Duke, Michael Hill, Brad Griffin were on the show to talk about the Battle of New Orleans, Richard Spencer and his merry band of alt-right warriors were in Charlottesville, Virginia, protesting the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue there. Now, I don't want to give you a spoiler, but I will tell you that this show, you're expecting it to be a negative show where we're talking about the removal of our monuments to our heroes, and certainly that has happened. The three monuments to New Orleans, which were all standing a week ago today, have all been removed. They're gone. They were there last Saturday. This Saturday tonight, as we broadcast live, they're gone. The statue in Charlottesville will be removed, and they're going to replace that statue of the gentleman soldier Robert E. Lee with a statue of slaves. Well, of course they will. But I am telling you, I'm not trying to sugarcoat that. That's not good. But some good has come from all of this. And in fact, a lot of good things have come from this. And we'll be telling you about that throughout the show tonight as well. With Richard Spencer, who, as we were broadcasting live last Saturday night, was simultaneously holding this event. And what a sight it was. A torchlight vigil. Over 200 people with torches standing in defense of the honorable, noble, greatest American, Robert E. Lee. It is a powerful, visceral image. If you've not yet seen it, I think every article we posted to thepoliticalcesspool.org this week either had to do with that rally or something related to the attack on Southern heritage and white identity here in the South. So we've posted some pictures. And not only that, we have camera footage from a drone, aerial footage, at this Charlottesville event. It's all at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Folks, if you haven't seen it yet, you've got to go see it, and you'll know about what we're talking about. But it was an incredible rally. Richard's going to be on in the second hour to talk about that. And in the meantime, I will fill you in on some of the details even in advance of Richard's appearance. A busy week for me, though. I have been back out making the media rounds over the course of the last couple of weeks, on with Sam Bushman twice in about the last week and a half, on with Rocky D in Charleston, South Carolina. Great guy, big talk radio host there. Had a great time on the Rocky D show. Just doing the Lord's work, everybody. Was with Lana and Henrik on Red Ice TV, a Red Ice TV special last Saturday. That's posted to our website this week as well if you missed that. But two of the bigger interviews, Warner Brothers did an interview with Warner Brothers for a TV show that's going to be airing in Europe. Now, I went back and forth on whether or not I was going to participate in this interview. And there is a professional actor in Europe. I'm not going to tell you any more than that, but he has become certainly a confidant of mine. And I in addition to Sam Bushman, Keith, and just a couple of others in the inner circle. This guy has really just become part of the crew almost. And I go to him because he knows as much about media, more about television media than really anybody I know. And was talking to him, and of course he reinforced some of the things I already know to be true about what happens in interviews. I mean, of course, I've been around the block a few times, I guess you could say, the least. But he knows even much more than that, and he does the research. He knows these people. And he gave me some good advice. I did decide to go ahead and do the Warner Brothers interview because, number one, it's airing in Europe, one of the biggest outlets in Europe, so it'll be seen by millions of people. Now, if they edit me poorly or if they don't use the footage and any of that or could happen, whatever happens, it's going to be seen in Europe. So best case scenario, we increase our European audience because I think I did a pretty good job. I'll tell you that. Now, we'll see what the final cut conveys. But I'm really confident with that appearance that I made just a few days ago. It's going to air in Europe later this fall. You know how it is with TV and movies, folks. You tape your scenes and then a year later it comes out. But one interesting takeaway about this. So we were in, and you shoot these scenes, and you're on location, and you're not in a studio like a CNN interview where you sit down at a desk or something like that, or they have the camera and you connect via satellite and you do the interview. It's not a one-on-one interview. You're engaging with the public. You're at these little local places, and it's meant to be something. Meant to be something that you would do in your daily life. I mean, this is the way this television show is set up. You've seen TV, right, folks? So you know how it goes. Well, our particular scene, we were in an old country store in the South, which, of course, I was right at home with that. And we started having this conversation. Now, the lady that was the star of the show is like, I guess you could say she at one time was the Britney Spears of Europe or of her part of Europe. Maybe the Taylor Swift. I don't know. I mean, she was pretty big. I mean, she doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, American celebrities don't mean anything to me. But anyway, pretty big news over there. And she is. So we sat down and we're talking. And the topic gets on Sweden. And we're talking about Sweden. We're talking about identity. We're talking about all the issues, of course, that we talk about on this show. And, of course, she's coming at it from a contrarian point of view or an opposition point of view. And I'm coming to it, obviously, as myself. And really speaking truth to power, doing a good job. But so we start talking about Sweden, and I get on to the rape statistics. Now, I had Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice TV pull up some rape statistics on Sweden, verified by their judicial system, verified by studies put on by universities in that country. So I was armed to the hilt with information, and I started rolling it out. I said, well, you know, let's talk about how diversity is enriching Sweden, and I will roll out the rape statistics. Sweden is, I think, number two or number three. I had all the facts readily available at the time from memory recall, but this was a few days ago now, and so I've forgotten them. But I'm rolling out Sweden's number two or number three on the countries, the top rape countries in the world. It's either number two or number three. And I talk about how much rape has gone up in recent years. And I said, you know who's doing the rapes? It's obviously these so-called refugees. And, of course, the data backs that up. Their judicial system backs it up. Their studies put on by their universities back it up. She says, oh, no, that's not true. No, I know Sweden. The rapes are happening by white married men with families. White married men with families. What do you do with something like that, folks? That's the mainstream media for you. We'll be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, I hope, folks, over the course of that three-minute commercial break, you had a chance to process what I told you right as the music was starting to play. Here I am with this European celebrity, this pop singer, and I'm reading off the facts about rape in Europe, how it's gone up exponentially since the migrant invasion or refugee invasion, whatever you want to call them, invader invasion, let's just call it. And I've got all the data. I mean, not from our sources, which are truthful sources, but not even from their sources. If you care to ferret it out, it's right there. No, that's not true. The most rapes are committed by white married men with children. And let's move on to the next topic. What can you do with that? What can you? I hope they captured the. I could have said, ma'am, you lie, and I'm not going to talk to you another minute until your producers look up these facts and make you eat them. I could have said something like that, but all I could manage to do is just laugh and look at her incredulously, and perhaps they could at least perhaps they captured my moment, my face in that moment. But here's fake news. Yes, if I had had my cell phone readily available, we could have pulled it all up. But anyway, I mean, you could put the facts in their face, and they're just going to say, well, those aren't true. That study's not true. That court was wrong. You can't convince somebody of truth if they're not willing to see it. But so that was overall, though, hey, I got to tell you, the crew was great. Even she was great. I mean, not very bright, not willing to be open to new ideas, intolerant, if you will. But respectful, and we had a good talk off the air. I mean, it was fine. It was very cordial, very professional. Hey, and I got a check from Warner Brothers. Anybody can sell out and get paid, but getting paid to tell the truth, well, it was just expenses. But hey, it still said Warner Brothers. That's rare. And you make it all happen, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll follow up with you on that as it comes out. I gotta admit, I do like the treatment. It is nice to have a driver to have the crew, your own personal assistant for the day. If you haven't experienced it before, it's something you should do once in life. Also, a new interview in the New York Times this week. I got to make this quick because we got to get on to the show. But I got to tell you what's going on, right? Because you support this show. You support our work. I want to let you know we're out there, not just every Saturday night here on the radio, but certainly out there throughout the week. The work never ends at the Political Cesspool. And the work never ends for your truly in terms of his service to the cause and to you, my dear friend. I'm out there every day doing something. It's much more than a three-hour-a-week gig. That much I can tell you. But did another interview, got a follow-up interview with Serge Kovalevsky, one of the few reporters that actually was a stand-up guy. We did an interview with him in December, came out. He treated me very fairly, so I decided to do another interview with him. This is the New York Times, of course, and so we know what side they're on. But he was decent, and so I gave him another opportunity, did an interview with him just a couple of days ago, and I'll let you know when that comes out as well. So busy, 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 as always. But let's get to the news of the week. Let's set the table before Richard appears with us at the top of the second hour. As you know, members of the alt-right produced one of the most inspirational images I've ever seen, or at least seen in years, last Saturday night when they marched to Lee Park in Charlottesville, Virginia, to hold a torchlight vigil in honor of General Robert E. Lee. This stunning show of force made national news, as you might can imagine, and you could also imagine the bias being applied by the usual suspects. One headline screamed, "Torch-wielding white supremacists rallied against the Confederate statue's removal." Well, there's some more fair and balanced reporting for you from the establishment, the cuckolds, the mouthpieces for the regime, the effeminate enforcers of political correctness. The story, that was the headline. The first sentence of the story reinforces the headline by saying the exact same thing. Torch-wielding white supremacists rallied around a Robert E. Lee statue slated for removal and chanted, "Russia is our friend," in Virginia on Saturday night. God bless these people. Okay. Well, as David Duke put it, when blacks burn buildings and attack whites, the media refers to them as peaceful protesters. But when whites peacefully gather and light torches, we get called a mob of torch-wielding supremacists. Now, of course, as you know, Europeans have lit torches to honor our dead for centuries. And that's, of course, what that was about. It was dark, not a well-lit park, and the torches were just a fantastic spectacle. But my second biggest takeaway from this was the predictable, and you know it's predictable if you listened to my show last week. I shared with you my experiences in the past with some of the leadership of the SCV. God knows there's great individual members of the SCV and great leaders of the SCV, but on a national level, and certainly in Virginia, it would appear that they are cucked out. The Save the Lee statue crowd said, "It has come to our attention that several out-of-town groups associated with white supremacy conducted events and protests in Lee Park. Neither Save the Statue or the Monument Fund were in any way involved with these events." White supremacists, I mean, what do you think you're called, you idiots, by the press? You're called the exact same thing as the rest of us. And there wasn't a single white supremacist there, I can tell you. Anybody that would call us a white supremacist shouldn't flatter themselves by presuming that we want to live around the people who hate us. No, we don't want to reign supreme over anyone. We want to live separately. And again, don't misunderstand me. I am the son of Confederate veterans, but not a member of the organization of the same name. I do love the organization, but its leadership must grow a pair of cojones. As I told you last week, the commander of the Louisiana SCV sent out a letter encouraging all supporters of the monuments in Louisiana to stand down. Stand down? I mean, what are you here for if not that? What is your organization for? I'm a talk radio show, and I've done more to defend the parks in Memphis than y'all have. This is your sole purpose and mission. Or is it to play dress up? And listen, I'm not denigrating that. I mean, it's fine to go to these reenactments and to honor your ancestors by following in their footsteps and putting on the uniform and emulating them as best you can in that moment. But how about emulating the kind of heroes they were in real life by going out and doing something instead of calling your allies the same names that the enemies call you? Well, there's nothing noble about being polite losers. I've used this radio show as a tool for 13 years, and twice in those 13 years, we have successfully defended Confederate monuments, once versus Al Sharpton. We told you about that incident last week. You can go back to last week's archive and listen to it if you've missed it. But in my experience, I've received nothing but opposition from the SCV. So there's that, and it looks as though some things haven't changed. That is not to say, listen, I know a lot of people in the SCV, they're great, but unfortunately, it's just like the churches. I know a lot of people who go to churches that I'd die for, but the leadership in these denominations are horrible, you know, sadly. So it's par for the course there from what I've seen from the heritage activists who are paralyzed with fear of the R word. The time has come for new tactics and new strategy. We must play to win. We must be aggressive and determined, which is why I'm happy to see Richard Spencer and the alt-right engaging in the struggle to preserve Southern history and heroes. My forefather fought at the Battle of Shiloh. The Battle of Shiloh. Now, I don't think he'd be concerned with trying to virtue signal in a futile attempt to avoid being called a racist by limp-wrist reporters, do you? The SCV leadership will never learn. It's time for men who are worthy of their genetic inheritance to lead our people. And thankfully, we have just such men. I would submit my humble contributions as evidence of that. But you hear from different leaders of that caliber every week on the political cesspool. You heard from three of them last week. You're going to hear from another one tonight. And on and on and on for weeks going back to 2004 on this show, and for weeks for as long as the good Lord sees fit for us to continue our work. We will bring you the people who you need to know about, who are doing great work, who are either not receiving coverage or receiving negative coverage. But they are the people you should be following, and those are the people we highlight on this show. Much more about this topic. I guess Confederate History Month is going to turn into Confederate History Year. As soon as we got out of April, all of this stuff started cropping up against. So we're still on the southern track, but hey, that's all right with me. That's my wheelhouse. That's where I'm most comfortable. We're going to take a break, continue on. Richard Spencer coming up soon. Get ready, everybody. It's going to happen. And then a big surprise for you in the third hour. Stay tuned. It's all for you.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Robert Mueller, former director of the FBI, special counsel to investigate possible Russian interference in the election campaign. The investigation into influence may be wrapped up quickly, though. He's known to be a quick worker. It's doubtful that there are any Russian connections. For at least the next campaign cycle, Democrats in Congress will raise millions in donations because of that ongoing investigation. More alarmingly is that special counsels tend to take on a life of their own. The former FBI director is authorized to investigate any matter that arose or may arise directly from the investigation. President Trump traveling to Israel, and now we learn that he has decided not to announce, at least during the trip, any plan to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. While a candidate, he had promised one of his prominent financial backers, Sheldon Adelson, that he would move the embassy. Rumors began to circulate days ago that the embassy was not going to move, and Adelson was reportedly furious. He had given $5 million to help Trump pay for his inauguration. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Who taught you skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so primary topic of discussion tonight is the alt-right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, the opposition it received from the usual suspects in the media, Antifa, and sadly, even our own people in the SCV of all people. Now, a lot of SCV people have been supportive of it, but what you're reading about is the people with the microphones in the SCV, and they're issuing these ridiculous, stupid statements. But, hey, there was one SCV leader, Kirk Lyons, who penned a really incredible article in defense of the alt-right rally, and it was even-handed and fair, and we posted it to our website on Friday. Hey, if you're not going to thepoliticalcesspool.org every day for your daily bread, you got to correct that, folks, because if I post something on the website, if my team posts something on there, it's something I want you to read. It's something that we will either cover or have covered on the show, and we try to keep you up to date, of course, in between our weekly broadcasts there on our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and, of course, my Twitter account, at James Edwards TPC. Follow me on Twitter if you haven't done that already. I'm relatively new to Twitter, but I'm getting the hang of it. It's pretty fun. Brad Griffin with us last week, as you know, as our guest, one of three, a prolific writer. I mean, this guy's a machine. And he wrote something, I think, very eloquent in response to the rally in Charlottesville. Of course, engineered by Richard Spencer, who will be on with us in about a half hour. On Saturday night, Brad writes, the alt-right came to defend Southern heritage in Charlottesville, Virginia. It makes sense when you think about it. As Richard Spencer has repeatedly said, the alt-right is about identity. These Confederate monuments are expressions of Southern identity. They were erected by the sons and grandsons of the Confederate generation and were put into prominent public spaces in the South as a tribute to the sacrifices of our fathers during the war between the states. Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson are Southern heroes. One out of every four white men died in the war between the states. One out of every three were at least maimed. The horrific toll of that war has no parallel in our history. It's not like they're only Confederate monuments in the South. They're Union monuments in the North that were erected for the same reasons. These monuments were built as an act of love. They are about us, our identity, and how we remember our ancestors. The people who want to destroy those monuments to our dead also want to destroy and replace us, their living descendants, and make life miserable here for future generations. We see where this is going. That's the reason why there were Northerners in attendance at that vigil last week in Lee Park. This is about wiping all of us out, all of us, for being white. This isn't about history so much as it is about the modern-day Mao and their cultural revolution. As I was watching the vigil, I was also following hashtag white people, which was trending on Twitter. This cultural genocide isn't going to end with the monuments. It never does. And he's exactly right. If it did, it would still be worth fighting for. But, of course, it's about something even bigger than that. Again, folks, you got to read all about it at our website, and be sure to watch that drone footage as well. Brad Griffin followed up that statement with his take on the denouncing of the sons of Confederate veterans, their denouncing of the rally. The Virginia Sons of Confederate Veterans wants you to know they're not racist. Just as we state today, the SCV wrote, no such groups should operate under the good name of the Confederate Army. It's the duty of the Sons of Confederate Veterans to emulate the high moral standards of those who fought and died to protect their homeland. We represent Southern heritage, not white supremacy. People of all races, religions, and colors fought to defend their Southern homes in the war for Southern independence. Those who show up with torches are in no way connected with or endorsed by the SCV. These people only serve to play right into the hands of those who would label us racist. In the end, they do more to bring down, listen to this, SCV said this, almost cursed on the air, because this is just, I mean, sometimes only a curse word will do when you're dealing with something this ignorant. In the end, they will do more to bring down the monuments than the actions of our enemies. These people are a joke. What else can we say? They denounce racism and white supremacy while the enemies of Robert E. Lee gather there with the exact same message. It was our forefathers who built these monuments. And that generation, listen to this, folks, had a strong ethnic identity and didn't apologize and bleed on like sheep about the importance of diversity and tolerance. They were real men with a sense of honor. And they wouldn't have groveled and degraded themselves before their enemies in such humiliating and cringeworthy fashion. Virginia, and what are they talking about? This doesn't go back to the South, and even before that. It goes as recent as the 1960s and 70s. Virginia was a Jim Crow state when the Robert E. Lee Monument was erected in 1924. All this nonsense about how the Old Dominion was a happy multicultural utopia of all races and religions and faiths wasn't even true in 1967 when the Supreme Court struck down Virginia's anti-miscegenation law, which was a correct law. It was the toughest anti-miscegenation law in the entire world at the time. Virginia's entire congressional delegation in the House and Senate voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So I guess the Sons of Confederate Veterans should denounce the whole history of the state of Virginia then. And you really need to watch this video. Jared Taylor just put out a new video at amren.com, what the Founding Fathers really thought about race. Now, there's an article that he wrote with the same title that you should read, and we've talked about on this show, but he puts it into video form. As you know, in the founding of this republic, citizenship voting was restricted to free white men. So, hell, there were a lot more quote-unquote racist than we were, or we are, I guess you could say. So don't give me this whole stuff. Hey, listen, I defend all of that, by the way. I defend everything those people stood for and what they voted for and what they voted against and everything I just said I am in support of personally to this day. But if we're racist, then what does that make them? There's a reason why the previous generation failed to preserve our Southern heritage. They didn't have an identity. We can't afford to perpetuate those mistakes any longer. Look, even Corey Stewart is a candidate for governor in the state of Virginia. He's running on a pro-Confederate platform. You see Confederate flags at his rallies. He's actually one of his biggest platform planks is defending the monuments there in Virginia, defending Confederate history. He's not even from the South. He was born in Minnesota. And he's doing more to preserve and protect. He didn't denounce Richard Spencer or the alt-right or any of our people. He's a northerner. He had every opportunity. In fact, the media said, hey, why aren't you denouncing these people? They're there at your Confederate parks that you love so much. He maintained a dignified silence. The SCV could have at least done that. If they can't be supportive, they could have at least just shut up. Now, again, this isn't all of the SCV. It's just like when I talk about the churches. I'm not talking about the people in the pews. I'm not talking about the people who go to SCV meetings. I'm talking about the people who have the authority to issue press releases in the name of the SCV. You know, it's just a handful of people in all of these institutions that really give it a bad look. But, hey, listen. There may be good people in the SCV. I know that there are. We've had some on this show. But if you want to get involved by supporting this radio show. Get involved by joining the League of the South. We had Michael Hill on last week. Get in joined by joining, I don't know, anybody that's uncucked. But, hey, I told you at the beginning of the hour, it's not all bad news tonight. And it's not. In fact, because of everything we just talked about, some very good things have happened. And I'm not just talking about the rally in Virginia. Yeah, that was awesome as far as the optics of it all. Just the visual rallied people, it inspired people. That was good. But there's some good things going on the monument front that I'm going to tell you about right after this next commercial break here on the Political Cesspool. You're listening to the Political Cesspool here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Don't forget, of course, as you know, lots of ways to listen to our award-winning show on the AM radio dial. How about that? That makes us the only one, right, in this movement, a novelty, something that we hang our hat on, something that's certainly been a reason we've gotten so much incessant press for so many years, being on the AM radio dial as that legitimacy and credibility that our people deserve, and we're happy to be here holding down the fort on that front. Of course, we're not in every market, but we are in select markets on finer stations, of course, across the country. In addition to that, though, hey, how about listening online, where we welcome a global audience to each live show, and of course, via our broadcast archives there. Again, at the internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can listen via telephone, you can listen through the Roku player, lots of different ways you can listen. And no matter how you're tuned in tonight, we're glad you're here, and we'll be back with more good news to wrap up this hour. Good news right after this.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we're making pretty good time here. Making pretty good time here by objective this hour. By the way, if you haven't noticed, Keith Alexander and Eddie Miller have the night off tonight. We'll get them back next week. But out tonight, and anyway, that being said, I didn't want to just not make mention of Keith and Eddie, who are normally here. But making pretty good time tonight. The purpose of my first hour, the objective was to work through what's happened on this front before we bring Richard on. That way we're not wasting time with him sort of giving you the facts. So this is good. Now, I said there was some good news, and good news has been had. As a direct response, it would seem, to what's happened in New Orleans and even in Charlottesville, Virginia, the Alabama state government passed just this week a historic monuments protection bill. Yes, indeed. Listen here, ladies and gentlemen. I guess Alabama decided it had seen enough progress from places like New Orleans. Here is the story from Yahoo News. Alabama lawmakers approved sweeping protections for Confederate monuments on Friday, even as politicians elsewhere rethink the appropriateness of keeping such emblems on public property. The measure would prohibit the relocation, removal, alteration, renaming, or any disturbance of any architecturally significant building, memorial, or monument that has stood on public property for 40 or more years. That would include every single one that is a Confederate monument, of course. Senator Gerald Allen, the bill's Republican sponsor, criticized what he called a wave of political correctness wiping out monuments to people he said were historically significant. African-American lawmakers, the story reads, opposed the bill at every step of the legislative process, saying that it argued that it solidified the shameful legacy of slavery. Well, go to hell, please. Because you're not going to shake us down with the old slavery thing anymore. We're beyond that now. And this is great news out of the state of Alabama. Now, obviously, the state of Alabama didn't draft this legislation, send it through the legislative process, and pass it in the last week. This was something that was in the works, obviously, for some time. But the timing of it couldn't be more uncanny. And perhaps they did expedite the process in response to the cultural genocide that we see happening down in New Orleans. I guess the only problem with this bill is that once we attain power, it's going to be hard to sledgehammer a lot of those Martin Luther King statues. But maybe at that point we can reverse the bill or rescind it. But the Confederate statues in Alabama are safe. They're safe. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to be removed. They're not going to be taken down. They're not going to be replaced. They're going to stay exactly where they are, everywhere they are in Alabama. And let me tell you where they are, not just in Alabama, but throughout the South. Everywhere. They're everywhere. We're focusing on, granted, some beautiful monuments. The Robert E. Lee Monument in Lee Circle in New Orleans was certainly a flagship. It was one of the most dominant, beautiful, magnificent monuments to our Southern heroes. So the Marxists definitely got a couple of stone scalps this week. But ultimately, we're talking about three in New Orleans and one in Virginia. Well, how many were just protected in Alabama? Hundreds. Literally, hundreds. You don't know much about the rural South, let me tell you. You go to any small rural Southern county, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama. Go to any rural county, South Carolina. Keep on going. Name the Confederate states. Texas. You go, even Florida. You think Florida is more leftist now because of the Miami, but anything north of Ocala, north of Gainesville, is basically just an extension of Alabama and Georgia. So Florida's got good people. And in these small county, rural county squares, every single one of them has, almost every single one of them literally has, a Confederate monument somewhere in the town square. So there are hundreds, if not thousands, of these monuments still left out there. Now, a lot of them were protected by this legislation in Alabama. This was a good move. Now, we've all had our problems with Republicans, and we should. Republicans on a federal level are horrible. Even the Republican delegations to Congress from the southern states are horrible. But some Republican state legislatures are okay. No, they're not identitarians. No, they're not with us on race, at least not publicly. But you can sometimes get things like this from them. The same legislation was passed in Tennessee last year. There will never be a Confederate monument in Tennessee renamed, moved, or replaced because we have this law. Now, Alabama has this law. Louisiana is getting this law. It actually passed through the House. The blacks in the Louisiana state legislature walked out of session, of course, like little spoiled babies, like they are, chronic malcontents. Because they didn't like the way it was going. So they just got up and left. Well, good. I wish they would stay gone. But Louisiana passed similar legislation just last week. Now, the problem with the Louisiana legislation was a couple of things. Number one, it's not going to be retroactive. So the statues, the monuments that were removed last week, they're going to stay gone, unfortunately, in New Orleans. But they're not going to be moving any more monuments, even out of Louisiana, once this goes through and finishes going through the state legislature there. It's passed the House, now it's in the state Senate. It's going to pass. So, again, I that's good news. Now, one other thing about the Louisiana legislation is you can, municipalities, counties can vote to remove statues in Alabama and in Tennessee. There's no public referendum. They're there to stay. In Louisiana, there can be a vote on it, but city and county governments cannot just arbitrarily remove these monuments anymore. In all black counties, all black cities, yeah, there's a chance that more will be removed. But it's overall, we've strengthened our position even in Louisiana. So this is the best thing Alabama Republicans have done for years and years, and they deserve credit for that. North Carolina has a similar law on the books. And I bet more southern states will have similar laws passed in the near future perhaps don't have them already. So these are victories that we have sustained even since the monument started coming down in New Orleans last week. And how else can you frame that except for a victory for the good guys? And there will be more. There's a Confederate monument under attack in Orlando right now. But we have to remember that it was in Ocala, Florida, about an hour and a half north of Orlando, where 5,000 people joined a Confederate flag rally in 2015. I think we had either the second or the third biggest Confederate flag rally when we rallied 500 people to Forest Park here in Memphis. 5,000, just north of Orlando. There are good people out there, and they're becoming more emboldened. And we're going to talk to Richard about that in the next hour. And you don't even have to worry about the state of Mississippi. They've still got the Confederate flag as part of their state flag, or the Confederate flag is their state flag, basically. Just a variation of the color scheme, but you've still got the iconic battle flag emblem there in your state flag. So Mississippi's solid, and a lot of these other states have become more solid. So, yeah, they got three. They got three, and how many more have been protected because those three fell? So we have to look at it that way. There's nothing we can do now about those three that are gone. But thankfully, sensible state governments with sensible people that they represent have done well. Now, I got to tell you what's coming up before we go to the end of the hour. Major treat for you. Listen close to me now. I told you we were going to do this. And it just so happens we're going to do it tonight, in the third hour tonight. I'm going to replay the interview that we conducted with Drew Lackey. I told you a little bit about Drew Lackey. He was a police officer in Montgomery, Alabama, during the height of the Swindle Whites movement. He later became the police chief of Montgomery, Alabama. He's pictured in the iconic photograph fingerprinting Rosa Parks on the night of her arrest. He also booked MLK. So, in essence, he arrested both Rosa Parks and MLK, or at least processed them after their arrests. Incredible, fascinating figure, a giant. Well, I found out just a few days ago, before last week's show, that Drew Lackey recently passed away at the age of 90. And so that got me to thinking, you know, we had that interview with him back in 2008 that has never been replayed. So how many new listeners have come to our audience over the course of the last 9 years? We're going to replay for the first time that interview with Drew Lackey. And he talks about his personal experiences with Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King, Michael King, if you want to use his real name. And he talks about what that movement was all about. And he talks, I mean, with frankness and candor that you would expect from an honest man. We're going to replay that in the third hour tonight. If you've never heard that interview before, stay tuned for the third hour. And it won't be hard to get you there because you got Richard Spencer coming up next. So it's just going to be one hit after the other. But I'm so proud that the Political Cesspool has put together interviews like this. We've done a few historical interviews. This was one of them. And it's just fantastic. And not only are you going to get to hear from a man who lived through this horrible history, and will tell you the truth. He wrote a book called Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. But Bill Rowland really conducted the bulk of that interview. And so we're going to bring Brother Bill back to the airwaves tonight, even as he looks down on us from heaven this evening. That's coming up in the third hour. You don't want to miss that. But first, Richard Spencer is next. Stay tuned for that.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.